Welcome to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. Yara is the global leader in crop nutrition knowledge and a producer of quality fertilizer products. Grow the future with Yara.
Hello and a warm welcome to Grassland Farmers and Graziers. I'm Ken Rundle and, together with Philip Cosgrave, Yara's Country Grassland Specialist, I'm going to discuss mid-season grassland management. It's a constantly evolving topic because these days every season seems to evolve differently, with less and less of the routine decisions there used to be. So, Philip, I suppose we have to begin by summarising just what kind of season we have so far and what kind of season's presently being predicted.
Yes, it's been I suppose every season is a little bit can be very different, but certainly the first couple of months of the year for grazing has been was difficult. Grass was growing pretty well, but because of the amount of rain, grazing conditions were difficult. And now that kind of has turned completely around. And now the other issue is that, you know, the lack of moisture has is starting to really impact on grass crops. And I guess this is where some parts of the country will have received rain at this stage, but other parts then probably have received very little or certainly not enough. So that certainly has brought its own challenges to farmers trying to keep enough grass in front of grazing livestock.
And where there's been thunderstorms, which pretty widely across the UK, they'll have delivered almost too much water and brought swaths down and so on. So there's all kinds of conditions at the moment.
Yeah, certainly. And on probably those kind of crops, those very leafy crops where it receives very heavy torrential rain, that grass can really get matted, if it receives very heavy rain, which doesn't do grass quality any good.
Well, I suppose all this leads to stress of the farmer, of course, but I'm thinking primarily of the grass. How does that affect decisions at the moment?
You know, when moisture is an issue, soil moisture is an issue, you know, I suppose there's the reaction of the grass is to try and, go into reproductive phase. So it puts up goes stemmy and tries to put up a seed head. And I suppose the issue is to try to manage that for grazing. And because obviously that's going to affect grass quality. But I guess part of what we would like to see is that we would not kind of run down grass covers too much. So we would try and keep a minimum of kind of 2,000 of an average farm cover. And that's equivalent of 500 if you're looking in the Republic of Ireland, because running that down then kind of risks, a serious short grass shortage affecting the budget, grass budget. So I guess we would like to see, we shouldn't be topping if it's very dry, but you're basically affecting grass growth by topping. It's kind of found that, by topping, you kind of reduce grass growth subsequent to that. So, and that grass in dry periods has got higher in dry matter. So when it's higher in dry matter, it means that you may not need quite the allocations that you first thought because of that high dry matter grass. But certainly not letting grass covers run down too low and introducing supplementary feed silage in there to try and buffer feed to stop running down the average grass cover on your farm.
And that silage from previous season, because we hardly had time to really make anything off the first cut in terms of fermentation and so on.
Yes, well, most of the time it will be kind of round bale silage that's probably going to be fed, but that takes very little time, I suppose, between baling and being able to feed it back out. But that will be a problem on a lot of farms because they're, silage stocks were low, even silage stocks and clamps are low. And it may be that first cut silage that was cut, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago at this stage may need to be fed out already.
It's a pretty serious situation. And of course, all this business of changing condition of grass, the stemminess and so on, all affects the consumption by the cattle themselves. So all of your calculations get knocked sideways by this, don't they?
They do. And as I said, that grass is going to be, you know, higher in dry matter. So maybe some farmers may be over allocating grass because they may be thinking that the grass that's there is of lower dry matter. So we may be able to reduce the amount of grass that's been grazed. And then I guess it's important, I suppose, that we don't run that grass down too low. And that's where I suppose supplementation comes in to try and make up that difference so that we don't allow the overall farm cover drop too low.
So how does all this affect the fertilizer program, especially, I suppose, nitrogen?
I guess if rain is an issue and soil moisture is the problem, you know, we wouldn't be recommending to be applying nitrogen until there's enough rain to kickstart grass growth again. But generally, if rain has, you know, fallen, then we're looking at, you know, during kind of mid-season grazing, we're looking at the equivalent of, you know, 1 unit of nitrogen per day in kind of old money, or 1.2 kilos of nitrogen per day in per hectare. So 1 unit per acre or 1.2 kilos per hectare, whichever, you know, unit you want to use. So because you've obviously at this stage of the year, you've a lot of, I suppose from previous grazings, you have a lot of deposition has gone on. So you've got all that nitrogen there that's coming through as well. So there's no need to be fertilizing, because we sometimes use this, you know, 2 units a day or 2.5 kilos per hectare. You know, that's for situations where, you know, silage crops where they're not getting any you know, deposition at all, you know, through urine or dung patches previously. So yeah, if it's I suppose it's, you know, certainly we'd like to be including some sulfur in there still. So we're looking at a product, say, like Yarrabella Nutri Booster, which is can-based, but it also includes sulfur and selenium. You know, so that is a really good product at this time of the year, because obviously it's nitrate-based, so it's stable. You're not losing any nitrogen to ammonia volatilization. So this is, I suppose, it's important that we certainly just keep an eye on the weather. And if it's too dry, don't apply nitrogen. But certainly if it has rained, then you know, graze swards will respond to nitrogen. If you've got perennial ryegrass white clover swards, then you can pull back on the actual nitrogen rate in those instances. You know, if you've got lots of grass and some may, well, then you can pull the nitrogen rate right back on those perennial ryegrass white clover swards if that's the case. But you know, if you're still chasing some grass, well, then applications of probably half a unit per acre of nitrogen, or about 0.6 kilos of per hectare of N, would be the kind of the recommendations on those.
You've mentioned sulfur and selenium there. What about P and K, phosphate and potash?
Now is a good time of the year, because to apply any extra P and K that's needed, I guess there may have been some P and K applied earlier on in the year, but certainly at this time of the year, we need to be kind of looking at applying whatever maintenance levels are needed, and doing a kind of a calculation on what's applied versus what's needed. If it's a case that on some paddocks that there's low P and K levels, low soil P and K levels, well then, you know, this is where we'll be looking to apply those build up rates at the moment. Particularly at P, in June, we see a kind of a drop in the concentration of phosphorus in grass at this time of the year. So a little bit extra P can be helpful in building, you know, in boosting the phosphorus levels in grass. Because in some instances, cows, depending on other supplementation, the grass isn't high enough actually in phosphate or phosphorus at this time of the year. So cows could go into a phosphate deficit situation.
Slurry, I suppose, this time of year is an awkward one to talk about, because a lot of slurries have already been used and not enough has been generated with the cows outdoors. But presumably, because of its moisture content, it can have some effect given in particular drought areas.
Oh, it's certainly on dairy farms, there will always be kind of parlor washings, even at this time of the year. And you know, that's a very useful product, particularly if it's drier, because it's high moisture content, low dry matter content, and it has doesn't have a very high nitrogen content, but because of it's most of the nitrogen in it is available nitrogen from probably a lot of urine going into it. And because it's so low in dry matter, it percolates into the soil very quickly, and it traps the ammonium in it. So you've got kind of lower levels of the nitrogen that's in it. You're going to lose less of it to ammonia volatilization. But certainly, you know, to follow graze paddocks with parlor washings or dirty water is, yeah, definitely a. You will see a response, and it will replace, you know, bag nitrogen.
Messages there, be flexible, I suppose. And so what other messages then? So what are your key messages in this podcast?
Well, when it comes to, you know, for those that haven't received much rain and that are under pressure that way, I would say that, you know, it's difficult, but if they're using a program like AgriNet, that to, you know, basically utilize some of the features on that, but like keep basically try and prevent the average farm cover from dropping below 2,000 kgs per hectare, dry matter per hectare. For the Republic of Ireland, that's 500, but we're hoping that, you know, most of the country will have received some rain anyway, so that will hopefully turn grass growths around. And in that case, it's looking to try and graze out paddocks that have gone a little bit stemmy, graze them out as well as can be, so that the subsequent rotation is going to be higher quality grass. For nitrogen applications, we're looking at, you know, using those products, say like Yarrabella and NutriBooster, you know, to get nitrogen on. If you need an NPK product, we're looking at something like Yarra Mila Extra Grass, which is also can based, but has P and K in it as well, and sulfur to build P and K levels if needed.
The main thing is keep a flexible approach.
Yes, certainly.
Timely advice, Philip Cosgrave. Thanks very much. And was there ever a moment when at this time of year farmers could relax a bit and look forward to shows like the Highland or others that are available? These days, the climate always seems to be delivering curveballs and upsetting plans. But that's all for now. Next time, it's brassicas that come under the spotlight. So join me, Ken Rundle, in a couple of weeks' time.
Thanks for listening to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. For more information, visit yara.co.uk or yara.ie.